So let's go to our scripture reading here this morning. We continue our journey in the New Testament. And today we're going to pause and we're going to study our text from Matthew chapter 28, the final five verses of that chapter and the final five verses of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Very familiar text. We call it the Great Commission. And if you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Familiar text once again, starting with verse number 16. Jesus is about to ascend into heaven. And according to the Gospel of Matthew, these are some of his final words. He says this: "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" Let's pray. Father, just week after week, the words of your Son Jesus just totally overwhelm me with his power, with his grace, with his words. And today we're going to talk about the Great Commission and the words of Jesus. So, Father, I am praying, Lord, that the words of my lips and the meditation that I'm about to speak will be holy and pleasing to you and will complement your scripture. But it is always your scripture that we grow from, Lord. Thank you for your word and giving it to us today. And today, these words of Jesus. And we ask this in his name here today. Amen. And you may be seated here today. This morning, we're going to continue our journey through the New Testament. And we just read that scripture, something we call the Great Commission. But I'm going to start off by just asking we're going to get kind of personal today. Probably not so much theological, but more on a personal note here today. Have you ever felt alone? Have you ever had that empty feeling when you really needed someone? And you needed that someone to be around, and there wasn't that someone to be there for you? Or have you always had that special someone in your life, but now that special someone has possibly moved on, or maybe they have moved away, and now there's this just big, giant void in your heart because that special someone is no longer there? Loneliness. I have the definition in your bulletin on the inside in the top right-hand corner, but I'll put it here in front of us here too. Webster defines lonely or loneliness as this. Two definitions, and we're going to talk about these here today. Number one, being without company. And number two, cut off from others. And if you notice that this year I've been putting a definition of a different word in the top right-hand corner of your bulletin each week, and it always has something to do with the message. Today I have the definition of lonely. Lonely, being without company. And we're going to define that as this. When a person is by themselves, when there is nobody else around, a person can get lonely or sad maybe when they are by themselves. Now, I will admit, I am one of these types of people who can get lonely when I am by myself. Why is that? Because for some reason, God wired me as a people person. I love being around people. I can get lonely when I am not around other people. Now, don't get me wrong, that doesn't mean I don't like my alone time or my quiet time. There are times, but generally speaking, I don't like too much quiet time. I like to be around people. And maybe that's one reason God called me to be a pastor, is because I love being here. I love being around other people. At least most other people. If you know what I mean. I like being around people. And not everybody is wired as a people person. There are some people who will never get lonely, but they could be all by themselves with no one else around. And that's okay. We are wired different. But for someone like me, it might be easy for me to get lonely when there's not other people around. So this first definition of lonely defines that person who is kind of solitary, just has no one else around. They are alone, and being in that condition can make them sad. But there's another definition, a second definition, and it says this: cut off from others. And what that means is this, that you feel like you are alone, you feel like you are lonely, even though you are among a whole lot of other people. Last week I heard a person say, I was talking with an individual, and she said this. She said, you know, a person can be lonely even when they are in a crowd of people. And that is a true statement. Some people can be lonely. Now let me just kind of give you some examples of this. Perhaps these people are in a new job, and they're surrounded by people that they don't know. And because they are, that kind of makes them lonely. Or they are surrounded by people in a new school. They're in a new school and they're surrounded by new teachers, new students. And that kind of makes them feel lonely. So they're not by themselves. They are among other people, but they feel lonely because they just don't know the other individuals. Or maybe you moved from one location to another. You moved and you're in a new neighborhood and you don't know the people. Or maybe in a new church and you don't know anybody. You're still surrounded by people, but you could have this feeling of solitude because there's nobody that you know that's around you. And for some reason, you feel like you're just a little, maybe cut off from everybody. Everywhere around, there's unfamiliar faces. And you feel as if, you know, I just don't fit in. At least not yet. And you could have this feeling of loneliness. Or maybe a person or other group, maybe you have different interests than other people do. An example of this is, and I'm just going to make this up and use me as an example. If I was around a group of men, and this group of men, and we're all talking, and the only thing that we're talking about is hunting and fishing, I would feel lonely. There are just some interests that I'm not interested in. So if you get like 10 guys, and I'm one of those 10 guys, and everyone's talking about their hunting and fishing experiences, I would feel, and I could get the feeling that I was cut off from others because I just could not be part of that conversation. It's not something that really interests me. And I could easily, in that capacity, start feeling lonely. So there's lonely from two different perspectives. You can be alone solitude because there's nobody else around, or you could be lonely because there's a lot of other people around, but you feel cut off because you just feel like you don't fit in for some reason. From a secular perspective, loneliness can be very devastating, and it can lead a person into being unproductive. It could lead a person into a state of depression, or it could actually lead a person into something much worse, even something like suicidal thoughts. They can get so lonely. Loneliness can certainly prevent us from living up to our potential. I know that as I have gone through the most difficult times in my life, both physically, mentally, and emotionally, I could feel very much alone at those times. But it was always reassuring to pull me out of my loneliness to know that I had a wife who was right there with me walking through those tough times as I was going through those. She was always uplifting. She was always encouraging. She was never criticizing, and she was never judging. Those difficult times, I did not walk alone because she was there to take that walk with me. Thank you, dear. Thank you. And I also believe those kinds of things define a good marriage, right? Doesn't the husband and wife become one flesh? If you're hurting, I'm hurting too. And when you're joyful, I'm joyful too. And if you're down, I want to help pick you back up again. Remember, husband and wife, we don't compete with each other. We complete one another. Amen. That's right. For all the years that I have pastored, I have visited many people in nursing homes. And in every nursing home, there always seems to be those residents that have no visitors, ever. Their world, which was once vivacious and full of life, is now contained to a bed in a room in a facility with other people who quite often do not have very good communication skills. And it's sad to see those people in those states. And I'm sure they must be lonely. I think it's a safe bet to say that each and every one of us in here, at some point in time in our life, for some reason, we have felt loneliness. We have felt alone to some degree or other. But today's scripture that we read gives us hope. And let me explain to the path I want to take here. In the very last line in the Gospel of Matthew are the words of Jesus, and he tells us this: I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. God's word continues to be amazing, because I want to point out something that I just learned this past week about the Gospel of Matthew. Did you know that the Gospel of Matthew ends the way it begins? In chapter 1, the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, an angel appears to Joseph and tells Joseph that Mary, his betrothed, is going to bear a son, and they shall call him and give him the name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. God with us. And as this child grew, this child Jesus grew, when he was leaving the world, he would tell us the same thing. God with us at his birth, and as he is leaving and departing, he says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. So indeed, God is with us always. So for the Christian, for the believer, for us, for those who trust in the word of God and its promises of salvation and eternal life, we should never be lonely in a spiritual sense. In a spiritual sense. Even in our darkest and loneliest moments, we need to remember these words of Jesus, that he is always with us. So what exactly does that mean for us, the believer? Because here's the question that I know you're probably asked. Well, Mike, does that mean we will never have moments of loneliness and being alone? No, we will still have moments when we will have those feelings of being alone. King David, so let me explain what that means. But let me go back to King David. King David had his moments of loneliness, and it tells us in Psalm 25, which I said that I read earlier, which I didn't read earlier, so you need to go back and read Psalm 25, which is supposed to be our wisdom scripture for this morning. King David admits that he is lonely and he is afflicted. But who does he know? And what does he do? He knows who has the solution to his problem of loneliness. And that would be the Lord. And what does he do? He asks for deliverance from that. So with that background on loneliness, pretty much more from a practical perspective, more than a theological perspective, let's look at today's scripture reading and maybe turn this into a little bit of theological and unlock some truths here today. So let's look at this. The context of our scripture reading this morning is focused on something we all know called the Great Commission, to go out into all the world and make disciples of all nations. We've heard that being preached, being said time and time again. And in fulfilling that commission, which it isn't just a job for a preacher, not just a job for a pastor, it's whose job? Everybody's job for the Great Commission. And in fulfilling that Great Commission, Jesus says this, and he reassures us of this. He says this, "I will be with you always, even unto the end of the age." Preaching and teaching, and above all, living out the gospel in a Christ-like life can be at times a lonely commission. It will have its moments when we feel like we are, definition number two, when we are solitary and cut off from others. Sometimes, have you ever felt this when you're trying to share your faith with somebody? Do you ever feel like yet you are that one fish that is swimming upstream when everybody else is swimming downstream, and you are the only one going against the current? Did you ever feel like we are the ones who take the stand for the truth when all others are buying into the status quo? And that can make us feel lonely. Oh, gee, doesn't anybody agree with me? Or we are the ones who are speaking truth, and that truth is going to be offensive in a politically correct world. Oh, you can't say that, they tell us, because we stand for something. We stand for the Word of God. When we are doing the Great Commission, we can be an island. And that island sometimes just might get to feel a little lonely in fulfilling that commission. And Jesus knows that. He knows that. In John chapter 14, verse 16, in John 15, 26, and in John 16, 7, and other places, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to all believers. Some Bible translations in those verses calls the Holy Spirit the helper. Some Bible translations will call the Holy Spirit the counselor. And some Bible translations will call the Holy Spirit, who knows the other word? The comforter. Called the helper, the counselor, and the comforter. I like that word. I like that word comforter. Because in our time of doing the Lord's work and trying to fulfill the Great Commission, we can feel like we are all alone, because we are the only ones who are standing up for the Word in a world that doesn't want to hear what we have to say. And we know this, that we all have the Holy Spirit inside us to comfort us in those times of sharing our faith. There are some scripture verses that I want to point out, and I'll put them up here. Hebrews, let's start with Hebrews 13:5. How do we know that the Holy Spirit is with us? Well, Hebrews 13:5 tells believers this: "I will never leave you or forsake you." We've heard that before, haven't we? This is the words of Jesus. "I will never leave you or forsake you." Where else do we see those exact same promises? He made the exact same promise to Jacob in Genesis 28:15. "Jacob, I will never leave you or forsake you." To Moses in Deuteronomy 31:6. "Moses, I will never leave you or forsake you." To Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. "Joshua, you're about ready to enter the promised land. Trust me, I will never leave you or forsake you." And then to Solomon in 1 Chronicles 28:20. "Solomon, you're about to do this thing as king. Trust me, I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that a wonderful promise? That the God of the universe will never leave us or forsake us? And we need to remember that when we are trying to our best to fulfill the Great Commission through our words and through our actions. Because we know this, if you try to go on out there and you try to share your faith, either through your words or through your actions, I'm going to point out two things that are going to happen. And I don't have bullets up here for this, so you might want to write these down. There will be times of persecution. Trust me, if you're going to fulfill the Great Commission, I will be persecuted. People will laugh at us. People will mock us. People will hate us. And trust me, there's people out there that would like to kill us. There are people out there that would like to kill people like us. And those possible results of evangelizing, of me sharing my faith, of you sharing your faith, may drive us to the point of loneliness and discouragement. But Jesus says this, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the age. And even in our times of persecution, we cannot ever give up. And point number two, persecution's number one. Point number two, we need to remember that when we are trying our best to fulfill the Great Commission through our words and through our actions, there will be times when others just won't buy into what we are telling them. They just won't get it. Not everybody is going to get saved. Hearts will be hard. People will insist that they have their own way to salvation. And they have it all figured out because what they have done is they have invented a God, little g, that they want to serve. They want God to be the way they want God to be. They want their Savior to be the way they want their Savior to be. And they don't want to hear you because you're bringing truth into their lives. And people like that just may not get saved. Be prepared for the fact that when you share the gospel, not everyone gets saved. And because our friends and our loved ones fail to receive Christ, this may drive us to the point of loneliness, of being lonely and discouraged. Because we want to see everybody get saved. We want to see others have what we have. And Jesus knows this. And I believe that it's one of the reasons he says this in Matthew chapter 28. I will always be with you, even until the end of the age. We must know that even though not everybody that we witness to gets saved, we cannot ever give up on the Great Commission. We need to remember that in our times of loneliness, when we are trying our best to share our faith, to fulfill the Great Commission, the Spirit of God will be with us all the time. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is there with us right now. He will be with us tomorrow. And he says that he will be with us until the end of the age, which means we cannot ever give up, ever. We are commanded to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. And whatever that looks like to each one of us, we all do that in a different sort of way. Proverbs 18:24 reminds us of this. It says this, a man of too many friends comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. So I ask, do you know who this friend is? Do you know his name? Have you received Jesus Christ into your life? Have you called him the Lord of your life? You do know that once you call upon the name of the Lord, he will be with you always. He will be a blessing. He will be your Lord. He will be a comfort. Let's pray.